Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Well, thank you very much. What's up? This is In This League. It's ITL. Right here with Bogman and the Welch. I've asked the question before. What's more synonymous for us? In This League or Bogman and the Welch? I think it's the latter. Pretty close to just being the Welsh show. Bogman's not in a good way. A little behind the curtains of where we're at. The Houston... No takeoff. No blast off. Houston, we have a problem.
Yep.
You all right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I hate this, but... it's the way it goes. Can't beat the Warriors.
No, not even
Goliath wins again. We are not David. Hopefully the Nuggets will be.
It's rough. You and I talked about this on NBA Takeaways where, you know, what was it? What was the question you posed? Because I said they have to do this. And if they don't, because you were kind of annoyed.
I asked, is it the biggest embarrassment ever? Because someone on the Rockets Reddit, because I'm also a Redditor. It's me and Charlie Rivers, big Redditors. So
you didn't join the movement, though.
No movements for me unless they're bowel. So, one of the people on there said if they don't beat the Warriors without Durant, this is the biggest embarrassment ever. And I rolled my eyes at that because this is still the team that won the initial championship. You know, The first team they won, they didn't have Cousins, they didn't have Durant, and these guys were younger. It was Klay Thompson, and Draymond, Curry.
They're so much more vulnerable. But that wasn't the thing that I stuck with. I was like, I don't know. It's the most. And I told you before, it's like, at least the Lakers are out there, you know, being the Lakers. But what I did think, though, is that, you know, because we talked about, you know, Durant potentially leaving, DeMarcus Cousins, I'd have to say it's all but gone. And there's rumors of Klay Thompson leaving because he wants, you know, kind of more of a his team type of situation. That, you know, if they leave, you kind of were like, well, you know, doesn't this put the Rockets back in a better situation? Are they contenders? And I kind of push back against that to say, listen, if this team, probably the best version of a team that James Harden has been on for God knows how long with Capella and Paul and Tucker.
Last year's was better, but I also think that the Warriors were much better last year.
But if this team, if this Rockets team, they can't take down the Golden State Warriors. They can't do that with all of what's being taken away from them. You know, the most vulnerable the Warriors have been in God knows how long. I put in question the actual long-term probability that the Houston Rockets have a chance. And I, you know, hope springs eternal. And I know that, you know, that's where you have to live. You're a Rockets fan. I'm used to losing. I'm not quite a Laker, but I'm used to being a loser with the Phoenix Suns.
Well, this is the same crap, that the Suns went through. You know what I mean? Like,
great point. This is the Nash Marion years.
Yeah, you have an MVP level player in Nash. You have, you know, another great player in Chris Paul. And, you know, they couldn't beat the Spurs, and we can't beat the Warriors. And, you know, what's funny is that the same head coach is losing these games. It's Mike D'Antoni. And I told our buddy Stalling, and yes, the Welsh, I know no one listening knows who Stalling is, but I'm going to tell you this story anyway.
Oh, at least you said his name.
Yeah, I told him, because he's the biggest Suns fan I've ever met in my life. I said, the Suns will never win a championship with Mike D'Antoni. They just won't.
Did he
doesn't
call
coach
you
defense
and say
at all. No, he's not like that. But I know it, and I still believe it. So I think that the change that needs to be made is probably at the head coaching position, but I don't know how much better it's going to make the Rockets, you know.
Yeah.
Luckily, most of the team is intact for next year as well. You know, they have Gerald Green's a free agent, Austin Rivers and Kenneth Faried, but, you know, Harden, Paul, Capella, Gordon, PJ Tucker, those guys will all be back. So unbelievably disappointing, and wish it was going to game seven and wish it could get past the Warriors, but it's just not in the cards.
What do you do for something like this? Like we have a bit, we have our baseball Carl's Jr. bit where the Diamondbacks lose, you punish yourself for Carl's Jr. I mean, what do you possibly do when the Rockets lose like this and you want to punish yourself?
I mean, you don't want to hear it. I don't think I can say it here. I'm
not I meant food, Bogman.
And it's going to be violent.
Please stop it. It's a family show, I think. Don't
well,
do that.
Luckily, you and a couple other people that are hardcore listeners know what I'm talking about. But, you know, it's not going to be fun.
Speaking of hardcore. Well, sorry, buddy. I hope you recover. I hope it's a speedy recovery.
Buddy,
I'm sorry, James.
Don't say, buddy.
I'm sorry, pal. You mirror? You can talk about it? Anything else?
I mean, what else do you want me to say? They lost.
I was thinking about just letting you kind of sit in the moment there for and see what happens, see what pops up. But
I'm in the moment, so
yeah. I win $100 if I do that.
Maybe.
Okay.
Keep poking me. Get $100 and you get to do 2 hours by yourself.
No. Well, then I'll do it like right around like the last segment. Like I can do that. I can talk and do the last segment alone. So in hour three, little tease, we are going to talk about a mock draft that you and I did. I think we might have briefly talked about it last week, but we finished it.
We were in the middle of it last week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll actually kind of go through more in depth, talk about our teams, talk about the interesting rounds. I don't think for this mock draft, we were planning to do an episode on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. We already just did a kind of full on rookie breakdown for Dynasty and Redraft from the NFL draft. So it's a really good episode if you want to go listen. Lots of Bogman takes in there. But the mock draft we were kind of coincidingly doing wasn't planned to be an ITL football podcast episode for sure. So we'll do it here. We're going to do it here. And then we'll probably, as a perk, what we do over on Patreon is we invite our patrons to draft with us. And it's the captains, the highest level. We'll do another one probably within the next month or so. And that one will probably be more along the lines of our next episode. So we're going to be breaking that down in the last hour, plus a couple of the shocking pieces of news. I guess you would call it a prime, in his prime defensive player, very specific for your IDP podcast you do with Gary Davenport, just up and retired. So we'll talk about that as well. We've got some baseball to hit. I actually want to talk about one of the, I appreciate blatant cheating moments. So I want to talk about that here for a second. But here's one thing in just since we're all over the board here. Over on the Fantasy Black Book, it's a show that Bogman and I do with Joe Pizzapia via Fantrax. So if everybody is of Fantrax, you don't know of Fantrax, you check them out. They are full supporters and we're kind of the flagship show, the Fantasy Black Book, which you are a part of this year. I was not invited because I am a big fat loser, but you were invited to the Fantasy Football Black Book edition this year. And I think did you turn in your stuff?
No, I haven't turned it in yet.
Nate Hamilton turned in his, Bogman. I saw that.
Yep. Nate Hamilton didn't have to wait until the draft was over to do his stuff because I'm doing rookies. So I am on tight ends right now. So there are about 6 or 7 tight ends that I do a full breakdown of, and then the rest are losers who are projects. So
probably wasn't probably while the Rockets were on, he was probably doing his write-ups.
Yeah, maybe he's doing his write-ups then. I was not when the Rockets were on. So,
but you're close. Your write-ups are close.
Oh yeah, I'm real close to being done.
Okay. So you're gonna be able to catch Bogman in the Black Book this coming year.
That comes out June 1st.
Yeah, not our book. There will be no more of our books, I think.
No.
Well, football is 100%.
Hope you enjoyed it. It's a collector's edition.
Yeah, yeah. So here's how the percentages go. Football
zero.
Is at zero. Baseball is at
zero.
Like 1.1%. Each day that goes by. Well, don't you think?
You're keeping it alive.
So. No, maybe it's zero. It might be zero. You know, how the wind blows. We'll see how the rest of the year goes. We'll see how Patreon goes. We'll see. The books are dead. So us climbing on to other things, you can check that there. But that's not the point. Over on the Fantasy Black Book, we did something that I love. It's my favorite thing on the planet. And it's not staying on topic. It's my favorite thing. There's nothing I enjoy more than ruining the expectations of our listeners. They come on. They want to hear Joe talk about what the Black Book does for them.
I think most people enjoy the rabbit holes that we go down.
I think sometimes. I mean, you know.
That's why I just re-upped for, you know, a .com that we don't use, weirdholes.com. So okay. I'm really glad I'm hanging on to that, too, by the way, so I can get all of the, you know, Chinese engineering emails
we
that
should
tell
really
me how great of a porn site they can make for me.
We should just do something like the Randy Moss guy. Like, we should just have something there. You know what I mean? Like, I really think I want to get one of those gifts of, you know, you ever seen those images where it looks like it never ends and it just keeps spiraling? Let's just have a website with one image of a hole that just seems like you're continuously falling down.
Yeah, it's the Rockets losing in the playoffs.
Oh, it just it's just a loop of James Harden in his face just going over and over. But yeah, yeah, I love ruining the expectations of our listeners who are coming to get something and then they're getting something completely different. It's my favorite thing on the planet. But this wasn't my idea this time. This is Joe's idea. And Joe, totally not mailing in the show, wanted to do a Marvel draft, which, I mean, I was all steamed up about. Like, Joe tells me, hey, we got Jim Day on. I'm like, oh my God, I get to confront an issue? Great. And he's like, and we're doing a Marvel draft. I'm like, Joe, it's the greatest show you've ever put together. This is my favorite show. This was made for me. And he wanted to do a Marvel Universe film draft. Now, here's what's important about it, is we then took to the Twitters to get some votes on it. Now, here were the results. Joe had the third pick. I had the second pick. And Bogman had the first pick. And Bogman, you were gifted with it. But you shocked people with your first pick because you did not go with a consensus. You didn't go with a Trout. You didn't go with a Saquon Barkley. You went off book a little bit, and you took Guardians number one.
Yeah, Guardians number one. I know Infinity War and Winter Soldier are probably most people's favorites, but I think when you're drafting one, you got to think of rewatchability, right? And Infinity War is a million hours, and so is Winter Soldier. And Guardians just has this rewatchability that's unbelievable. I could watch that show probably every day. It's great.
Guardians is good. And your draft, so you got Guardians 1. You got Endgame 2, which is the newest one. You broke my heart taking Thor Ragnarok because I thought that was, it couldn't have been a better third pick. And I mean, you had the first pick in that round. And then you got the original Captain America. I ended up with the second pick. I took Infinity War, which I think is the best in the Marvel Universe. I took Civil War, which, and this was snaking around, which I think is the third best in the cinematic universe. So in my eyes, I got 1 and 3. Then I got the original Avengers and then the new Spider-Man. Joe got Winter Soldier. That was his first pick. Guardians 2, the original Iron Man, and Black Panther. So those are our teams. And we took to the poll here. And I had an early lead, and then Bogman started taking over, and a couple things have happened. Bogman owns this poll, and it's not shocking. It shouldn't be. I mean, even though, like, you know, lots of comments, lots of fun comments on there, but someone like Joe was like, $100 Welsh voted for himself, and I'm like, yeah, Joe. It's, I mean, my team.
I'm looking at it right now. I voted for myself,
yeah,
too.
So. And I, as I said to Joe, I'm like, I'm sure you voted for Bogman. Like, what are you talking about? And then, you know, a lot of people were commenting on yours, and someone commented on mine. And I was like, listen, of course. And someone made a joke about the voting, and I was like, I'd have voted twice for me because I got two of the top three movies in the universe. Of course I like mine. But Bogman, you leveled yours out with, you were just too strong. And to be honest with you, Endgame was like the safe pick, but Guardians and Ragnarok were your sleepers that put you over. And I don't blame people for voting for you. Of about 175 votes, 47% are in Bogman's favor, 38% are in my favor. And what couldn't make me happier, only 15% like Joe.
What a loser, Joe. 15%.
I love it. I mean, it's
because,
like,
he gave himself the last pick, but he had that back to back. So,
I mean, he could have gone.
He should have gone Winter Soldier, Civil War. That's what he should have done. And he didn't. He went Winter Soldier, Guardians 2. You swung back and took Civil War.
I would have gone Endgame and Civil War. Those are the two I would have gone with him.
Okay. So I was going to take, you know, probably Civil War, because I knew you were going to take Infinity War. So
We did a show. We did a top five on this on Patreon. We broke down Endgame. We did an hour and a half, episode, and we ranked our top five, and I had Infinity Wars as my number one. So, like, you taking Guardians, you knew where I was going.
Right, right. So, you know, Civil War is probably the next one that I would have taken after Infinity War. For whatever reason, a bunch of fanboys say that Winter Soldier is the best one. I mean, I like it. I like it a lot. I love the fight between I love the fight between Tony Stark and Captain America.
That's Civil War.
That's Civil War. Which one is Winter Soldier then?
Winter Soldier is just where they learn about Bucky. Like, Bucky's the bad
guy. That's when Tony Stark and Captain America have the fight at the end.
No, that's Civil War.
And then they have the Civil War. No, the Civil War is the big battle where what's his name? War Machine goes down and gets hurt.
Yeah, that happens too. But in Civil War is when Cap, that's the whole point of Civil War, is the Avengers fight each other. They don't fight each other in Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier is just like,
yes, they do. They fight each other. Dude, I'm telling you, fight each other in Winter Soldier because Tony Stark finds out that Captain America has been keeping it from him. Bucky killed his dad. That's Winter Soldier. You're mixing them up. I'm telling you, you're mixing them up.
Which movie? Civil War. It's in Civil War, Bogman. I'm looking at it right here. I said, which movie? Wait, is that right?
Wait,
hold on. Yeah, it's Civil War. That's what you are mixing it up. When they fight,
I don't think I am.
No, look it up. Say Tony Stark versus Captain America.
Okay.
Type it in.
Then what the hell
Civil
happens?
War.
Why does everybody like
because they're losers. They're the stupid. They're like, oh, this is a good story. It's a good story. Not a loser. It's a good story. It's a fine movie. It's like, you know, Bucky's the bad guy the whole time. Nick Fury's in it, and then at the end, they're like reprogramming him. That's the whole movie.
Okay.
It's not good. I mean, okay. It's not good. I shouldn't say it's not good. Forgive me. It's not good, but that's why Civil War is so good. Civil War is incredible. It was like Avengers. How did I lose?
I don't know.
Because you had Thor. You had Ragnarok.
I had Ragnarok. I mean, I didn't have Winter Soldier. Losers.
No. So. Losers. Winter Soldier. Come on. We're going to talk about it on the Black Book.
Cares about Bucky. Bucky sucks.
Bucky's stupid.
He's dumb.
Can you imagine? Well, I was about to ruin Endgame. Can I ruin Endgame yet?
No.
I can't?
Just don't do it. Just don't be that guy.
All right.
There's only one LaShawn McCoy needed, so.
All right. Well, we're going to be back. We're going to talk about Big Fat Cheaters in baseball. Shocker. And more stuff. Don't go anywhere.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Where are we gonna go?
Someplace warm. A place where the beer flows like wine. Where beautiful women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano. I'm talking about a little place called
In This League.
That's right, baby. Check out all the great podcasts.
Why does anyone care about the Winter Soldier if this fight scene is also in Civil War?
Can't even
get
up.
By the way, Civil War is the best movie ever of all the Marvel movies. If we get the giant battle with everybody plus this at the end.
Yeah. I mean,
Winter Soldier sucks.
What,
because Captain beats up a bunch of people in the elevator? That's why it's cool? Because
it's like Hydra. Like, ooh, big Hydra stuff. But that's where it happens. And
a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. stands.
Dude. Yeah, I guess. I mean, you got to. That's why I'm talking S.H.I.E.L.D. about here. Like, why are they not talking about Civil War? Civil War had the massive scene where they're battling. By the way, here's another thing that happened in Civil War.
There are no S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in any of the movies, too, by the way. It's only the one guy.
Yeah.
It's only whatever his name is.
Yeah. But yeah. You want to know what else happened in Civil War? So you have the massive scene. You have Tony Stark. You have
Iron Man shows up.
You have Iron Man versus Captain America. And Spider-Man was introduced to the universe in that movie.
And Ant-Man goes like really big.
He goes Giant Man. He turns into Giant Man.
Exactly.
It's the best movie. It is, I mean, besides the Infinity War saga.
I mean, I still really like Guardians, but that should have been number one.
It should. I mean, like, I'm not going to argue. If someone wanted to tell me that Civil War was better than Endgame, I'd be hard to argue that. I really would, because Civil War is incredible. It's a highly, highly loved comic book series that they did. And I mean, they've even, you know, gone to like a Civil War II. It was a great movie. It was like Avengers.
What happens in Civil War II?
I don't know. I don't have it.
Oh,
I'm still finishing House of M right now.
What happens in House of M?
Oh,
is Magneto okay?
He's great. He's the Magnus.
I actually saw there was some stupid YouTube video that said 10 moments that were darker than Endgame in Marvel, you know, comic books. And they're talking about one where Magneto flipped the polarity of the Earth and like ruined everyone.
Dude,
everyone is killing each other.
I am shocked, and it might just be my disconnect with, because I've told everybody, like, I loved comics when I was like a kid, and then it was all in my brain because I had all, I collected the what?
29. When you were a kid.
Nah, I thought I like 22. I had comics. I love the toy. You remember my obsession? Like, I only have two of the original X-Men toys. I bought one and somebody bought me one, so I need more people to buy me them. I have Nightcrawler and Iceman. I had the toys. I had the cards. I had comics. And then it all dropped off forever. So I don't remember a ton. And then there were these great series that happened after. But I had this realization where I was reading the Marvel Zombies and then House of M. And then something else came up, and I was like, Magneto is the baddest MF-er in the entire Marvel universe. He is always at the forefront of every damn story. They got to get him in the Marvel universe immediately, like the Avengers Marvel universe, because just go with him. He is at the forefront of everything.
Yeah, and what's his name playing him? He kills it every time. So, what is his name? Why can't I think of that guy's name? The guy that plays Magneto.
Michael Fassbender.
That's it.
He's probably done. They're gonna get rid of all those people that played those characters.
You think so?
Yeah, Avengers are gonna start over. Fassbender. I mean, I think Fassbender would be great because Magneto is like, oh, he's older, and now he's getting into the space where he's gonna like grow into it. So I don't think they should. But I can't imagine any of those people keep their.
Yeah, jobs. I mean, those movies seem like, you know, intense, and then you have every nerd coming up to you wherever you go. Oh, you're Magneto, right? You know, yeah, I'm Magneto. So
I'd go up to him and I'd be like, I liked you in that movie, Shame. So, you know what I'm talking about? And he'd be like, oh, yeah, you're one of those people. I'm like, not one of those people, but I like the dark stuff. I
definitely remember Shame. So yeah.
Living it every single... Someone who should be ashamed of themselves is Yusei Kikuchi. Did you see that glob? He looked like the blob of pine tar under his hat. I would love any interpreter to go up and just ask, who do you think you're fooling, buddy? What were you doing?
Yeah, and he didn't get booted for it either.
How did he not get booted?
Everyone was talking about how he's going to his hat before every pit. Oh, he's going to his hat. He's going to his hat. He's going to his hat. And, you know, and that's fine. But then, like, you saw I don't remember who it was, someone on Twitter did like a capture of his hat, and it looked like someone smeared peanut butter on the inside of his hat. It was so unbelievably obvious.
It looked like there's a universe that was in his hat that things could go through. There was so much glob and reflection. It was gross.
Now, I have heard that a lot of people won't complain about the pine tar because it gives pitchers better control. So not only are they getting better control, but they're not going to pitch wildly and hit anyone.
But Pineda got like ridiculed. And
yeah, but Pineda slathered it on his neck where everybody could see it.
Oh, so if he it was one of those.
You
got to
hide it
rules.
Better. Like every single pitcher uses pine tar. You know, remember what's his name? Why can't I remember his name? The pitcher for the Tigers in the World Series who had a big palm. He had a big glob of it on his palm. It was the Tigers and Cardinals. He's the old man, Kenny something. Kenny Rogers.
Oh, did he?
So, Kenny Rogers Roasters.
The guy with the chicken?
Yeah, he had a big glob of pine tar on his palm, and everyone can see it. And even the cameras could see it, and they didn't say anything about that. And, you know, Michael Pineda was just so dumb about it. He just had it all over his neck.
But I just don't understand.
Put it on your belt. Like, you can't have that much, first of all. And it can't be that obvious. But you can't be going to your hat before every single pitch.
Why is it okay if he hides it? Like, either make it okay or don't make it okay.
I'm 100% with you there. Like, if it's okay for them to use pine tar, like, hitters get to use pine tar to grab the bat. So why can't pitchers use it to grip the ball? Why not? You know?
I think that's a fantastic point. Yeah, but like, the problem is it's not okay. And why did they not? I just don't understand why they didn't stop anything.
Well, I think what you have to get is you have to get the manager to ask you, like if you're the crew chief, you have to get the manager to ask you to go out and see what.
And it's clearly because the other team doesn't want their guy being exposed.
Probably. Yeah, because I think whoever I think it was Jay Happ and he kept going to his hat.
The baby powder. They got like the baby powder on the mount.
Yeah, I mean, they have that. It just doesn't work for stickiness and grip. So that's to, like, you know, get the moisture off your palms.
But Bogman, Jerry Rice admitted that he used a sticky grip on his gloves in the 90s. He clearly can't be as good as Randy Moss.
Right. Okay. That I can't even handle that kind of stuff right now. I'm in such a foul mood. So yeah, that if someone came at me with that stuff, it would not go.
I do
for
like
me.
One thing I gotta appreciate about you, Bogman, is you and I don't agree on most things. Like the only thing we truly sports wise have in common are the Diamondbacks together. Everything else is pretty like in wildly different directions. But the one thing you always stand up for whatever reason, is Jerry Rice's greatness, and I appreciate that.
Well, it's because he had all of those catches and he broke all of those records and set all of those records in an era where they just weren't passing the ball nearly as much as they are now, or even, you know, 10 years down the road. And yes, the Niners were throwing more passes than most teams, but they weren't throwing the 65 a game that you see right now. Garrison Hurst had a lot of rushes, didn't he? Yeah. So,
and
you know, catches.
I'd also think it's,
and Charlie Garner, you know, all
I think
those
part
guys.
Of it's because you also cursed him in front of me. And it
was, well, that
okay.
was your fault.
No, it was your fault.
I feel no guilt about that.
You should. Bogman literally cursed Jerry Rice. And that was when they did the end around of Warren Sapp towards ACL. Well, I mean, why take
you
it out on Jerry Rice?
You cursed him, actually. Is if we're going to do this right, you cursed him because you knew I was going to say something terrible. And I did. And then that terrible thing happened to Jerry Rice. So
let me ask you something.
I'm really glad I used up all my juju on that. And I couldn't get, you know, Steph Curry to miss a couple shots in the fourth quarter, by the way. Glad so, I used up all my sports juice.
So are you sorry? Say you're sorry.
I'm sorry to Jerry Rice. I am not sorry to you.
Do you think, well, I'll take that. That's fine. Do you think, let me just ask you something real quick, a little personal between us. So we had a friend, I mean, lately, a guy we went to school with, we both relatively knew, who was a quarterback at ASU. And we were just talking about this the other day. Back when, you know, we were like teenagers and whatnot, and, you know, 18, 19, whatever, 20. And he was, he had a year where he started at ASU. And college football, the NCAA game, was the biggest thing in our lives. It was Madden in that game. And frankly, the college game might have been bigger because we built up our teams, you know, our college teams, our organizations, we played
college
franchise.
Better.
It was the best. And we had all the names in. We purchased, I mean, I think one year we put them all in because we're psychopaths, but then we would purchase from that guy that had the update where they update all
the
names.
Oh, yeah, the loser. Yeah.
And then he grew up and he started a movement for the Lakers on Reddit.
This was this was so long ago, but I had to send that guy a check and a memory card. So I sent him a check and a memory card, and he sent me back a memory card with all the names loaded up on it. So,
I mean, I didn't know you sent him a check, though.
Yeah, that's I might have sent him cash, but it was like I had to send him money.
Yeah, I remember that.
Plus, like he said, you can send me the money and I'll go buy the memory card, or you could just send me the memory card and some money.
That's the life we used to have. And there was no PayPal. So like he couldn't. No, he couldn't do any of that.
No, there was no PayPal and there was no automatic download. Like the guy had to sit at home and do it.
Yeah, it was awesome. So because we had to get the names in. But here's where I'm going with this. So we had a friend who was at ASU. I loved playing with ASU. And we had this other psychotic friend who I've told the story once or twice. But we had this one night. I was really good at the. We were all good. But like I'd have moments where, you know, I'd go on like a roll. And sometimes I could make it get away from a few people, and I used ASU, and at this time he was like the backup in the game. He, our friend, wasn't as good as the starting quarterback at that time. Who ended
well,
up
he was, but
NFL.
Not according to the game.
No, I mean according to the game, 100%. Yeah.
The starter's parents had to go cry to the head coach to get him to start
Andrew
over our buddy.
Yeah, cried and got him to start. So I use our friend. And I'm facing our psychotic friend who I think was using a huge school. It was like Nebraska. Or something. Okay, it was Nebraska. I think Scott Frost
might have
been
the quarterback,
right?
Yeah, because that was the week one game. Yeah, that was the week one game was Nebraska versus ASU.
So we play the game. and I think I beat him 46-0 or something. I put it to him.
You laced him.
To the point where our friend, not the quarterback, our friend who was playing the game, you know, fellow loser, was so mad he threatened to kill himself, kill our friend because I beat him in a video game. He screamed and stormed out of the house, and I don't know how long it took for us to see him again, maybe a day or two. And he was so mad. That's always a laugh.
Yeah, how did this?
Here's the point.
How did this turn into you beating someone so bad they threatened to kill themselves and people?
Here's the point. Like Jerry Rice, you said, I did this to Jerry Rice on your curse. Did I do that to our friend? Because he never got a starting gig after like two starts after that Nebraska game and then another one.
No, Andrew Walter's parents did.
Okay, so it's not my fault. Okay.
I'm sure they're probably some of the parents that are going to jail right now, right? Because of paying all the money to get into the school and all that stuff. Like, not, I mean, they're probably
the family. Yeah.
Well, they didn't have to. Yeah, obviously, the kid got a scholarship.
Not Lori McLaughlin.
They're not whatever. They're not whatever her name is from Full House. So. Yeah,
it's not the Full House chick. But I'm just saying, it's a weight off my back. I was trying to make sure that I wasn't the reason, like, because you're telling me I'm the reason that Jerry Rice blew out his ACL.
Yeah, you were so good at NCAA football 2002.
Yeah.
That, and by the way, that was the year. It might have been 2003. Oh, it was 2002 or 2003.
PTI just started there, Bogman.
Yeah, exactly. So we were probably putting in names and watching PTI at the same time, to be honest with you. So, yeah, you were so good at that game with backup quarterbacks at ASU. Now I have to go look at the ASU roster from 2002.
Yeah.
So this is going to drive me nuts. But yeah, I mean,
I think Sean McDonald might have been the wideout there, if I remember correctly. It might have been Sean McDonald who was the big, big star there. I don't know who the running back would have been. And it might have been Todd Heap. It was Todd Heap. I think it was Todd Heap was the tight end.
Todd Heap might have been there. Yeah. Right.
It might have been Todd Heap, Sean McDonald, and then our friend who, you know, started the Nebraska game.
Here
and
we go.
Andrew Walter.
Yeah. So, okay. That was, no, I'm 1 year off. So that must have been that. No, that was, I looked up 2003. So this must have been 2002.
Okay. Because that would have made him a sophomore, I think. Our friend.
Yeah. Yeah. So he started as a true freshman. He had our buddy, Chad Christensen, had 27 completions on 64 attempts for 302 yards and 3 touchdowns. Andrew Walter had 3,877 yards and 28 scores.
We broke a Pac-10 record after that because they just flung the ball. Who else was on that team, though?
Mike Williams, the running back. Mike Carney, the fullback.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Mike Carney, absolutely. He went to the Rams, right?
Right. Sean McDonald had 87 catches for 1,405 yards.
God, he was so good.
Daryl Lightfoot, Justin Taplin, Derek Hagan was a freshman.
Derek Hagan. Oh, Derek wow. Hagan. And they had Lightfoot. I loved Lightfoot on that team. Wow. They had Hagan, McDonald.
So, Mike Pinkard was the tight end. There was no Todd Heap yet. So
he hadn't got there yet?
No.
And then they had Zach Miller after that, too. ASU tight end you for a while.
Yep. Now the wide receiver, Terrell Suggs was on that team.
Ooh, T. Sizzle.
Solomon Bates.
Oh,
Let's see.
Oh, that's the greatness of ASU years. Solomon Bates. I love Solomon Bates.
Yeah, I don't really recognize anyone else's name here. Mason Unick, Connor Banks, Jamar Williams, Ricardo Stewart.
I remember Jamar Williams and Connor Banks.
Brett Hudson, RJ Oliver, Jason Shivers, I remember. And Mike Davis Jr. and Josh Golden, Joey Smith, and Tim Parker.
That's who I was beating up Nebraska with in the NCAA game.
That's right.
Can we get that college game back? Who was the player that ruined it? Who was the player that sued? Quarterback?
No. It was a college basketball player, and they did the naming rights for everybody.
Hold on. Let's see. College player sues EA Sports.
So this was...
I thought it was a quarterback. Ed O'Bannon.
Ed O'Bannon, yeah.
Yep, right here. This article from SB Nation. The NCAA, not Ed O'Bannon, killed college football video games, according to this article. I disagree, sir.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Here's the Nebraska roster. Jamal Lord was the quarterback
was
there.
Was Frost the quarterback?
No. Jamal Lord was the quarterback. And then running backs, I don't remember any of these guys. Darren Diedrich, Judd Davies, David Horn, Corey Ross.
Lawrence Phillips, maybe?
No, Lawrence Phillips. And the wide receivers are bad because, you know, they were an option team. So,
well, like, what's good about this team then?
I think the black shirts, the defense, they had a lot of good defenders here. They had DeMario Williams, Fabian Washington. Remember Fabian Washington? Yeah. He played in the NFL for a long time.
Yeah.
Chris Kelce.
Ah, Chris Kelce. Remember that was famed because I had a girlfriend named Kelce. And my name is Chris.
Look, Barrett Rudd in the middle, too.
Oh, love me some Barrett Rudd. Yeah, the defense was crazy, right?
Yeah. That was, we're going down memory lane.
I'm even looking at this article, too. It's talking about sports fans and gamers often blame O'Bannon for the loss of the game. I might read a little bit of this and then.
It's because he sued.
I sued him. How are they not? They're blaming NCAA. All right, well, I don't know. I might look into this. I kind of want to talk about this now. And then we got a little bit more baseball. And then NFL. Early mock draft. We're going to talk about some of those results in the third hour. So don't go anywhere.
Chris Sims here.
Ugh. Oh, Chris Sims. Let's go.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In the league.
All right, we are back. Bogman Welsh in this league. I didn't even get it out last time because you were so mad about Civil War, but a lot of good podcasts that are going on. Prospect One, my prospect podcast for baseball. You can check that out. Had an episode with Ray Butler. Talking about a whole bunch of dudes. Bogman has had a couple of the new Fantrax ones up that you do, the IDP and the College Football Podcast. So people can check that over Fantrax and tons more In This League stuff. And a quick way, because I've got it up on the search bar. If you go to InThisLeague.com, you literally can find access to any audio medium that we do. We've got our podcast. We've got our secret shows on Patreon as well. Quick links to all the other stuff that we do, like for fan tracks, the NBA takeaways, this show, all that stuff is listed there if people want to check it out. Easy stuff to do. So just a, you know, my favorite thing, this, a rabbit hole.
This Longhorns roster, the Welsh.
You're still on the college rosters of that year?
So Chris Sims was the quarterback for the Longhorns. I already barfed about that.
I like that.
But Roy Williams was one of the wide receivers. You remember R-Dub?
Absolutely.
64 catches, 1,142 yards that season.
Okay.
But also on this roster are Kendall Briles from Baylor fame now. And you wouldn't know. And then Kyle Shanahan
was a wide
receiver for the Longhorns, and he had 7 catches for 62 yards.
You forget that Shanahan and Chris Sims—they're like best buddies. There's that famous tattoo story if you ever go and listen about
really?
Yeah. They got the same tattoo where there was like a group of 4 of them were going to get tattoos, and it ended up like I think Sims and Shanahan were the only ones that ended up following through with the bet. So they both got the same tattoo, which is pretty great. So
I was wondering why Marquise Goodwin was getting such a big run at for the Niners.
UT.
Yeah, that's right. If
Colt McCoy hits the wire, watch out. 49ers are going to make a pickup. I think this is interesting because, like, I've tuned out a lot of, I'm going to be honest with you, like, video games were our life. And if you would have known us for the last 20 years, like, a couple of our, like, we have friends that are still listeners. Like, our boy Couch, you talk about stalling, maybe not even stalling so much, but Couch for sure. Like, these guys, if you would have asked them 20 years ago and said, like, hey, Bogman and Welsh aren't going to play video games for like 5 years, they would have laughed at you because this is what we did. And the forefront of it was NCAA football. And like I said, we hours and hours and, you know, years and years recruiting class. We go through the whole process. We do all of it. It was a great time. But then, you know, I mean, as we were kind of dwindling away from it anyways, came the big crazy class action lawsuit. And this is an article over on SB Nation that it talks about how 5 years, this is recent, and it goes, 5 years have passed since the last release of NCAA football, the end of production, and it says at least for now, of EA Sports' beloved franchise game after Ed O'Bannon, a former UCLA basketball player, won a class action lawsuit against NCAA in 2018. O'Bannon argued, and the courts agreed, that the NCAA not paying athletes for the use of their likeness was a violation of federal antitrust law. The NCAA games used players' likenesses, but NCAA rules kept EA from naming players or paying them. So that was always the weird thing, was that the players didn't have names, but heights, weights, numbers, everything was the exact same.
Yeah, face, all of the armbands that Reggie Bush had,
yep.
You know, every single, the high socks that VY would have on occasion, like all that stuff.
It was verbatim. Continuing on this article, a judge's ruling gave schools the option to set up trusts to pay football and basketball players after their college careers were over, and it prevented the NCAA from banning full cost of attendance scholarships, but it didn't actually require schools to pay players anything they already weren't for the video game or any other likeness. And there's a couple other points. It says sports fans and gamers blamed O'Bannon. He says he wrote in a 2018 book, I think I might want to get this, that one of the most common bits of feedback he heard from people about the case was, dude, you're messing up the video games. Some of the most prominent people in college sports have shared it, including ESPN's Kirk Herbstreit, who said in 2016 that O'Bannon ruined that for all of us and took the game away from us. And then this last part here, it says, hold up, though. It wasn't O'Bannon's idea to create a game that illegally used people's images. You're going to play this card here. EA made the game. Oh, God. See, now I lose respect for this article. They're like, oh, it's EA that chose to.
That's at least true. But EA could have sent one representative to each school in the offseason and just had the guy sign waivers, because I bet you they would sign it without thinking twice about because they're going to get into a video game.
So listen to this. He goes, EA made the game, choosing to use barely modified. This is how this guy talks now. Using barely modified likenesses of real people. O'Bannon discovered this while seeing his own image in a video game. The NCAA licensed out its name to the video game maker, who had been doing this for decades. Individual schools license their logos, uniforms, and stadiums using usually through one big agency that handled all of them. So the argument is being like, well, EA was the one that did this. But like, what's the argument that this still isn't O'Bannon's fault? Like, I don't blame O'Bannon for wanting the money. I don't blame the likeness conversations. But what I'm lost here, and maybe, you know, I need to dig more into the article, if the thing was EA can set up a trust for the players, was EA like, we're not doing that, it's too expensive?
Probably.
And O'Bannon just opened this up? Like, if O'Bannon hadn't talked, we'd still have this awesome video game, which, back to your point, like, everyone wants to get paid, but, like, I think everyone also loved that video game. It was beloved. It's kind of shocking. I would have loved to see... I want to read in this, if EA disclosed, like, what would that money look like? What would the trust look like that they're just like, nah, we're not doing that?
I don't know, but you would have to pay. The problem with that is you would have to pay, you know, the star players the same amount that you're paying the punters. You know what I mean? So instead of, you know, star player getting $20,000 for being in a video game because he's the guy that everybody wants to play with, you know, he would get $9 and the punter would also get $9. You know what I mean? Whereas the punter should probably get nothing. And, you know, whoever was the big draw in that game that year, clearly it was Andrew Walter. Everyone knows that. Well, so clearly.
Here's something from his book, by the way. And this note says, if the NCAA would let players and EA negotiate over licensing, they would. Then the schools could make their own deals as usual and the game could return. We'd all have more fun. It says, as O'Bannon said in his book, what was that book called? Will you look it up? I want to know what the book is called.
I hate video games.
Yeah, no fun. I want to know. This is an excerpt. He says,
Fun Police 2018.
In his book, he goes, it's also worth noting that we never asked EA to stop making college sports games. Just the opposite, actually. We love EA Sports College games and wish EA still made them. All we ask for is that EA pursue what is really
justice.
What it really wanted to do, negotiate with us to use our identity. So no, my lawsuit hasn't stopped EA from publishing college sports video games. EA is simply afraid of the NCAA, which could decide not to allow the licensing of team and university intellectual property. If the NCAA told EA it could pay college athletes without retribution by the NCAA, we would see these video games. It's really that simple. So it's back to NCAA is just a bunch of, you know, scumbags.
Right. Yeah, it's disappointing. That game, when Couch and I were roommates, we would Like, he would do his recruiting, and then I would go in and do my recruiting, and then we'd play the games. So, and I remember whatever year it was that Sergio Kindle was on the defensive line for the Longhorns. He was the bane of Couch's existence. So this last I had, like, probably 38 sacks with him. It was unbelievable.
This last line is killing me here because there's just a there's a couple people I can hear this coming from, and I'm hearing this line coming out of other people's mouth, and it's killing me. The title is called Blaming O'Brien. Blaming O'Bannon for the end of this game is for all these reasons silly. And here's the last line. If someone gets robbed and then sues the burglar, it's not the fault of the guy who got robbed when the burglar refuses to just pay for stuff instead. We shouldn't blame O'Bannon. Like, whatever. O'Bannon's a narc. Like, he ruined everything for everybody. NCAA is horrible. They're the worst. They're the villain here. But O'Bannon just, like, you know, he just put a big spotlight on it. He's a, he's the right whistleblower. Maybe he's good.
It's part of a bigger problem that the NCAA has, right? Where, you know, you need to be paying these players because they get permanent injuries and they get short-term solutions. You know, a scholarship doesn't promise a guy a job. You know what I mean? And if he leaves the school in terrible shape, you know, and maybe even with all the CTE stuff, he's not leaving in good enough health to keep that job. So it's a whole thing that many, many people smarter than us have gone down, and it's unfortunate. But I mean, you know, if any of these other side leagues like the AAF and XFL, any other side league wants to exist, they're going to have to be the ones to fight the NCAA to get the players to come play for them by paying them. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to start up and pay these players a good wage.
What do you think?
Because you have to have so much money in the bank to, you know, not make money for the first couple of years.
But like, when do you think this is it? What does this ever break in our lifetime? Are we going to see NCAA finally relent to what every human being outside of, you know, the 1%, especially that are involved in that specific thing, don't want to happen? Like, it's crazy to me.
Dude, I think in our lifetime, not in the joking, hey, I'm done in 4 years, but if we live to be in our 70s or whatever, I think we could just see football go away.
Well, but that's not what I was asking. I was asking, do you think we're going to see NCAA relent on this pay rule for college athletes?
No.
Lifetime. It's unbelievable because there's the first step of like NCAA doesn't want to, you know, drain their swamp of money. And put it out and share it at all. And then there's a secondary thing where it's like, well, listen, we get the money. You don't get any of this money. You also can't make any money. You're not allowed to go make it. Like, remember
that's the worst part.
The kicker. Like, remember the kicker had a YouTube channel and had to quit college football
because of it? And he was like, well, I'm making too much on this YouTube channel. Yeah. I'm not gonna quit it.
EA wanted to negotiate with the players, create a college player, you know, a little version of a college players union. EA negotiates with them. They make money. But I mean, the problem is then they're going to want a cut of the jerseys, and NCAA doesn't want to relent on that. But it's wild. These guys can't make a certain amount of money.
We don't put your name on it.
Didn't Terrell Pryor get so under fire because he sold like an autographed helmet? Let these guys do it.
He didn't even sell it. He traded it for a tattoo.
Dude. I look at, you know, all the issues that are going on with like young baseball players and stuff.
Dude, Reggie Bush had to give his Heisman back.
It's wild to me. Like in the baseball.
OJ did too, but we get that.
That's different. In the baseball, like autograph community, the most expensive cards.
Losers.
Okay, that's fine. The most expensive like autographs of cards besides like the Mike Trouts, they're the big up and coming prospects that don't have a lot of cards. So like Wander Franco is the most expensive right now. Like there is somebody that pulled the Topps Bowman series came out like a month ago or something. And I saw on Twitter, some dude pulled this one of one Franco autograph. And I saw the thread and people were like, what do you think it's worth? And this one guy's like, based on blah, 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 probably about $65,000. And I was
$65,000.
Yeah. One of one autograph in Topps.
Who is paying that?
Dude, I went on and I didn't see that one specifically. There were $10,000 Wander Franco cards with 28 bids on them. So here's where I'm going with
$10,000?
Yeah, dude. 100%. And even lower guys, Christian Robinson, guys that don't have a lot of cards, the market goes crazy for. I always look at this.
Aren't there going to be more cards made of Wander Franco?
Oh, but Wander, any Wander Franco card is worth money. It's worth big money. But, you know, one of one. The market's crazy, Bogdan. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, you know what I find so funny about that is that card is someone wants to pay 65 grand for it, or say it's worth 65 grand. And the Angels, when Albert Pujols hits a homer to get the 2000th RBI of his career, to be the third player ever to get 2000 RBIs, it's Hank Aaron, A-Rod, and Pujols now. The Angels offer a whopping Pujols and Mike Trout bat to get that ball back. Why would that guy ever give it up?
Sure.
That's got to be worth way more than a stupid Wander Franco card, right?
I'm on eBay right now. I just typed in Wander Franco auto. Now, there's not like, I see one right here. It's one of these like purple autographs in Bowman. There's 250 of them.
What is a purple autograph? Does that mean Thanos autograph?
No, it's just like, it's a purple card with an autograph and it's like 165 of 250. And there are 9 bids on it, and it's up to $240. I mean, I know that's not $65,000, but like
it's not. But multiply that by 250. How much did you say that's going for?
Well, that one right now is being bid up to it's like $250 or whatever I just said. 240.
And it's of 250.
Yeah,
it's
of 250. Usually those cards go for like
$5.
Every
card is worth $250. Those cards are worth $62,000.
Yeah, I'm looking here.
$500.
There's one that's on sale for $1,200. Waiting for best offer. I'm telling you, the prices are crazy. So, but here was the point of everything I was just trying to get to, was that, like, you know, we talk about a lot of the issues with young minor leaguers. I just wonder sometimes, like, it should be somebody that, like, these guys should go sell stuff. You know, like, I look at a guy like George Valera. I just want to be like, go sign some cards, put them on eBay, you know, go make some extra money.
Make your own card. Make your own card and have a blood sample in it.
And I know
it'd be worth $80,000.
Well, sometimes these guys will license if they license out and they get a deal and they're going to make money, that's great. But the lower guys that can't, if you can get one card that's made of you, and there's companies that do it, autograph them, sell them, do whatever you want. Make some extra cash on the side when you're struggling. I'm not saying that's the fix, but I'm saying all of that to be like, let college athletes do that, man. Let college athletes go out and have a signing, sign helmets and footballs. You know these dudes are doing it on the side anyways. People are going to parties. Right. Hey, I'll give you $100 for an autographed football, and people are doing it. Let them do it in a way that they can actually be pushed and promoted. And see, I don't know how this got into this. It's just the Ed Abandon stuff. But it's just like, it's baffling that this still sits out there, that you don't let these type of things happen with video games. Let them make money.
I tell you what it is. It's extremely un-American. No. To not let people go make money. And it's unbelievable that the NCAA has gotten away with this for so long. There needs to be someone come in with just a ton of money to burn, and be able to start their own league and start wooing these kids away from the NCAA. And look, I don't want that to happen, because I love college football. But you're never gonna solve this problem until they're actually threatened. They have to be threatened enough to lose so many stars that they have to start paying to compete and to keep making their money.
One day left, a 5 of 5 Bowman Wander Franco card. It's like red. There's only 5 of them. With one day left,
Scarlet Witch card.
There are 29 bids, and it's currently sitting at $22,000. $22,900 is with 29 people bidding on this card.
And that's Wander Franco?
That's just one Wander Franco card. Under it, there's a 42 of 50 Bogman. 24 bids. It's currently
how many major league at bats does he have?
Currently $6,000.
How many major league at bats does he have? Zero shares?
Zero.
Zero shares.
Someone's going to make $23,000 off a Wander Franco card.
I'm just going to start buying cards.
You should. Buy cards. Wander Franco. So. You should do it.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But, you know, thanks about Ed O'Bannon.
Yeah. Thanks, O'Bannon.
Thanks, O'Bannon.